Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, sweetest friends, brothers and sisters. This is Rabbi Shlomo Katz, and you're listening to The Soul of Israel on thelandofisrael.com, on the Land of Israel Network. This is a really special week. We've been speaking about this for the past few sessions, the past few shows that we've had, that this time of year is always designated for tapping into your inner beauty. Days like Yom HaAtzma'ut, Israeli Independence Day, brings out a certain pride, a Jewish pride, that you're not really in touch with throughout most of the year, but it comes out really strong on Yom HaAtzma'ut. Another day during this amazing period of the Omer is a day which we're going into this evening, and by the time you're listening to it, it will probably already be in the day, of Yom Yerushalayim. The day where we came back in a very miraculous way to the holy city, Jerusalem. There's still a lot of work to do, but we came back to Jerusalem in a very strong way. To delve into the depths of the meaning of that day, I'm joined by my dear friend, Rabbi Jeremy Gimpel. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, my friend?
I'm so excited about tonight and especially tomorrow. We're going to be at Beit HaRav Kook.
Can't wait.
We're going to be live streaming it on our Facebook
page. That's right.
It's going to be a celebration. 50 years in Jerusalem at Rav Kook's house. You're going to be the chazan. It's going to be awesome.
It's really exciting.
Oh my gosh.
It really is exciting. So really, those of you that are listening and that are in town, that are in Jerusalem, please make sure you come and join us tomorrow morning, 8:30 at Rav Kook's home, to say hallel, to say thank you to Hashem for the privilege of being able to be so much closer to what Reb Shlomo Krabach used to call God's kitchen. He said, the world is God's house, but the kitchen where he cooks up all his miracles is Yerushalayim.
Oh, that's Kodesh. Cool.
Yeah, I love it. So what I wanted to do today, we have a brief show, but something that I wanted to make sure that we're able to learn and cry over at the same time. And that's that a few years ago, I had the privilege of publishing a book called The Soul of Jerusalem. You could find it online. You can find it on Amazon. The Soul of Jerusalem, Teachings of Rabbi Shlomo Krabach. And there is a sentence, there's a very famous phrase from the Psalms that we say all the time. We say it at the end of ceremonies, of chuppot, when people get married. But we say it all the time. We sing it all the time. Even the singer Matisyahu, one of his famous songs, comes from there. And when he says, Jerusalem, if I forget you, let my right hand forget what it's supposed to do. That's how he says it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in Hebrew, we say, Im eshkachech Yerushalayim, tishkach yemini, tidbak leshoni lechiki, im lo es kerechi, im lo aale et Yerushalayim, al rosh simchati. Why is it so important to remember Yerushalayim? What is this deal that we have with memory? Why is it so important? This inyan of zikaron, im lo eskerechi, im eshkachech, if I forget, it's like my right hand has no purpose in the world. What is this? What is this inyan? What is this matter we're dealing with? So I want to read to you from page 99 in The Soul of Jerusalem. Rabbi Krabach says like this. There's something so deep inside each and every one of us. Even while I might be thinking 2 million other things, deep down inside, I'm always thinking about one specific thing, something which touches my heart in the deepest depths. You can ask me which restaurant I love the most, and I'll answer you clearly. But there's a certain part of me inside which is always reserved. Let's go one step deeper. My dreams do not depend on my conscious thoughts. My dreams depend on my subconscious thoughts. That which I'm not always even aware of while I'm awake. That place inside of me, deep inside of me, it's not even a place that you might even be aware of while you're thinking about it. It's even deeper than that. I can talk to someone for 2 hours. I think that I'm not even thinking about that which lies deep inside of me, but I am. Yerushalayim is the one place a Jew never stops to think about, whether he realizes it or not. You can talk to me about anything in the world, but deep, deep down inside, I'm always thinking about Jerusalem. How can you forget Yerushalayim for 1 second? Very simple. Everything in the world has a headquarters. Every person is chosen for something special. Every nation is chosen for something special. There is no, sorry, there is the headquarters for this chosenness, where everyone goes to find out what he or she is chosen for. The headquarters for chosenness is the holy city, Yerushalayim. Headquarters for chosenness. Headquarters for reminding you what you're supposed to do in the world. So you see, sweetest friends, I can't ever forget Yerushalayim, because forgetting Yerushalayim essentially means that I'm forgetting my purpose in this world and that I'm detached from the dreams that God has for me in this world. And no matter where we've been for the 1,000 years of exile, but even while we're here in the land of Israel, we're broadcasting right now from the hills of Judea. It's not only when I'm stuck in some stranded, you know, some crazy village in Poland for 100 years where I have to remember Jerusalem to be connected to where I am and what I'm supposed to be doing in this world. It's I could be here right now in the holy city, but I have to remember that which my soul is always thinking about, and that's Yerushalayim, because stopping to think about Yerushalayim is literally on a soul level choosing to remove my right arm. I can't function. But the memory issue is what I wanted to speak about. He spoke about here the headquarters of chosenness, that Yerushalayim is the place where each and every person that comes here is reminded somehow about what they're supposed to do in the world. You could be anywhere. You could be anyone. You could be anything. When you make that pilgrimage to Jerusalem, which right now we're witnessing thousands and thousands of people coming to Yerushalayim this week, specifically, even the President of America chose to come to Jerusalem, Dafka, this week. What is it about this place? Is that when I remember who I am and what God had in store for me, then I also am able to do what I'm supposed to do in this world. And I know so many people that are listening to us right now that for them, that seems like an unrealistic reality, that they could actually do what they're supposed to do in this world. It's nice to be plugged in once in a while, but to be one with your mission depends on your memory of Jerusalem. It restores into people their subconscious thoughts, that which they're, like Rabbi Shlomo said, that they're always thinking about. They're just not aware of that which their soul is thinking about all the time.
You know, I was just at the Kotel last week celebrating my nephew, his Hanachat Tefillin. He put on his Tefillin for the first time, and he did it at the Kotel.
Mazel Tov.
And I hadn't been in the Kotel for a really long time. And I was just looking at the stones of the wall and thinking, man, what have these stones seen? They've just seen so much. They've seen so much history. And, you know, if I forget Jerusalem and the memory of Jerusalem, and all of the Jewish people were built on our collective memory, on our amazing history. And it's just weird that in Hebrew, there's no word for history. And I think I read this from Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. He says, you know, a nation that's built on our history, all of our holidays are celebrating our history, and there's no word in Hebrew for history. In history, you say historia, which is just the English word with the ia at the end. It's just historia.
Right.
And so how does the Torah tell us to know our history? Because there's actually a command, Zechor Yamot Olam Binu Shnot Dor Vador. Remember the days of passing and understand your history. It's like mamash a commandment in the Torah, even though they don't use the word history, but we're meant to know where we come from.
Right.
And so how does the Torah say history? It says Zechor. It says to remember. And so what's the difference then between memory and history? Well, history, you could learn North Korean history. You can learn American history. You can learn Canadian history. History is objective facts and information outside of you. But memory is who we are. It's why we are. It's how the past lives on through us. And so when it says to never forget Jerusalem, and when we remember Jerusalem, then we remember our place in our history. And if we know where we come from, then we obviously know where we're going to end up. And we're actually meant to end up in Yerushalayim. And now as we've entered into the 50th year, where Jews from all over the world, even the president of the United States, we're all being pulled to this city at this like climactic part of this amazing story, that we're now living the memory and letting the past live on through us. And now those stones of the Kotel are seeing the children of Israel back after 2,000 years. At the beginning of the Book of the Soul of Jerusalem, there was one story that really touched my heart. Because I got married, you know, I got out of the army. I met with Tehillah. 2 weeks later, we were engaged. 3 months later, we were married. And I always thought that's very romantic. But then one of the stories here is talks about a man and a woman madly in love, and they decide to get engaged, and then they're separated. and they're separated for so long, and they dream about each other, and they think about each other. And for 2,000 years, we were separated. And then to come back after 2,000 years, what a chuppah. What a wedding. And that's literally the wedding that we're living through this Yom Yerushalayim. So amazing. Folks, the soul of Jerusalem, Ari and I have given out about, I don't know, 30 copies easily. Ari mostly. And it's such a good book. And this is the season. It was composed by Rabbi Shlomo Katz, taken from the words of Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach from all over the place. Just so many beautiful Torahs about Jerusalem. And if you want to connect to this season of the 50th year, there is no better book for you to get.
You're sweet.
Absolutely.
You're sweet. I'm reminded, now something really makes sense to me. He was asked so often in interviews, what are you biggest on? Like, what's your like hidden message that you're really trying to ingrain into all the youth that you're meeting? He says, I'm very big on two things. Shabbos, the beauty, the bliss of the Sabbath, and Yerushalayim, he said. I'm always trying to connect people to Yerushalayim. So he was once asked, he said, so what, you just neglect the other laws and the mitzvahs and you don't really put an emphasis on that? He says, don't you understand? When a Jew reconnects to Jerusalem and he's in touch with the subconscious of his soul, the natural result would be to then delve into the depths of the rest of the Torah. But what's going to bring them to there? So he was always big on just bringing up Jerusalem all the time, because he really felt that the greatest attractor to people's own neshamas and what they're supposed to do in this world was, he said, the Holy Wall. I wonder if he was around today, if he would still be talking about the Holy Wall or more about Har HaBayit, Temple Mount, I'm not sure. Possibly, could be. But whatever it is that this concept of being reminded that we've been engaged. And I love that what you just brought up. It's amazing. We lasted 2,000 years of an engagement because of our memory. Our memory of how good it was to be one with God in the Holy Temple, that memory of it was enough to keep us going and bring us back to Jerusalem. And now we finally have to get to the chuppah.
Yes.
We finally have to get to the chuppah. Like for me, I was telling my chaver last night, Jerusalem Day is not just a celebration. It's a big din v'cheshbon day, gut check reality. Are you okay with just coming back to Yerushalayim? Or do you really want to get to the canopy? So I thought about this. The word in Hebrew for the Western Wall is called kotel. But if you rearrange the letters kotel, you have the word telchu. You have to keep on walking. Hmm. The kotel is a wall, but keep on walking up this wall. And you get back to the Holy of Holies. 50 years, thank you Hashem, it's been the highest in the world. The 50 years are over, now Sheibana Beis HaMikdash. Please show us how to build the Beis HaMikdash. I don't want to wait for flying carpets.
Yeah.
Or temples dropping down from the sky. For 50 years, that was enough for me to hold on. That memory was enough for me to go. But I think we're entering into what you also used this word recently, a paradigm shift. I believe that now this 50 years of excitement over what we had is now transitioning into more of an excitement about what we're going to have.
You know, I just think about, you know, what Jerusalem has been. And, you know, in America, I grew up in Atlanta until I was about 11 years old. And every time we davened, we faced east. And you think about the Jews in Australia, and every time they davened, they face west. And I just think for 2,000 years, wherever the Jewish people were, an architect came and built their shul facing Yerushalayim. When they were in Europe, they faced south. And when we were in Africa, we faced north. And from a bird's eye view, what that had to have looked like, all of the Jews all over the world facing Yerushalayim, even at the Kotel. You're not supposed to face directly to the Kotel. You're supposed to face about 10 p.m., if you're standing right at the Kotel.
Right.
Why? Because that's where Har HaBayit was. That's where the Kodesh HaKodashim was. And even inside Jerusalem, when you're in French Hill or you're in Talpiot, you're actually facing different directions. One is facing south and one is facing north.
Crazy.
And we're all, like, all of our prayers and all of our focus for thousands of years. And now to think that in some small way, you know, for thousands of years, like, prayers were being asked of Hashem to bring us back to Jerusalem. How every time we ate bread, we're saying, please, Hashem, rebuild Jerusalem. Every time we stood at a chuppah, we're remembering Jerusalem. And every time we davened three times a day, four times on Shabbat, and five times on Yom Kippur, bring us back to Israel. V'techezena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion. And now, some miraculous way, our lives, this Yom Yerushalayim, are the living answers to all of our fathers and mothers' prayers from around the globe for 2,000 years, focused on this city, and they're now being realized. The prayers have been answered in our generation. It's just too much to believe. It's so powerful when you connect to the memory of our people, because it's unparalleled. There is no other people like that. If you ask just a regular, I don't know, European, maybe he knows until his great-great-grandparents. That's it. Then they already like lose connection. So their roots go back, what, 100 years, 200 years? To be able to go back 3,000 years.
Unparalleled.
It's such spiritual power, and that's really the power of Jerusalem.
And that's the power of memory. That's the power of memory that we're speaking about. Unparalleled, really, you cannot compare this to anything else that we know of. Let's just let ourselves be in tune with the pulse of our nation. The pulse of our nation is memory. But we don't just remember the past. In a weird Marty McFly Back to the Future energy, we also remember the future, because in God's time, there is no past, present, and future. Only for our this worldly faculties, we need to use concepts of past, present, and future. But sometimes it's not enough to just remember what was, because there was a lot of pain for 2,000 years. We have to remember on God's time what will be. If you don't feel a push from the past, you got to feel that pull from the future. And I think that's the paradigm we're entering into. I pray it is. I'll tell you why I pray it is, because I was agitated as a kid when I was being fed answers that had to do with, we're here because of what was. Even I was getting agitated as a young kid. I see my children, those answers will not satisfy them. My child is going to hear from me, and they continue to hear from me. Please God, they'll hear this forever. We're here not only because of what we went through, but we're here now because it's about our generation. And we're here because of the pull that's coming from the future.
Akiva's 10 years old. And just last week, he's like, Abba, I don't understand. Why don't we build the Beit HaMikdash? Why don't we build the temple?
What'd you tell him? Did you give him a PC answer?
You know, I really don't know. First, I was just so excited at the question.
Right.
I was like, wow, that's so cool. Because what 10-year-old for the last 2,000 years, that wasn't on the radar of questions that you could ask, because we had just came back from the Kotel.
Correct.
And my son is like, why are we at the Kotel? It's right here. Why are we building the Beit HaMikdash? We have a mitzvah to build.
Right.
Why are we not building? And just taking in the question was fun enough. And then my answer, you know, what can I say? You know, there is no good answer. Other than the way that I understand the Midrash, that the temple is supposed to fall out of the sky. Not that it's supposed to be like a prefab building that's going to be brought in with the crane, although I guess maybe that could be. I think the real answer is that, you know, when Jewish consciousness in the spiritual realm is ready, the temple will simply manifest. It's so easy. It's so in our hands. It would not take any military prowess at all. Yerushalayim, Har HaBayit, is in our hands. It's right there. As soon as we want, we could very easily build the temple. But like the Jewish consciousness, just that it has not fallen from the sky yet. We just haven't achieved that awareness yet.
Right.
But when the awareness comes, and the fact that the next generation, where Akiva's mother tongue is Hebrew, he speaks English and he tries to read English, but he's a Hebrew-speaking Judean boy. His generation, the consciousness, I believe, really will be there. We will see Yerushalayim rebuilt in our day, in our days.
Amen. So you end up with the bracha. Rabbi Jeremy just said it'll be rebuilt in our days. Rabbi Shlomo Krabach used to say, the word Beyameinu doesn't just mean in our days, it means with our days.
Beautiful.
Friends, let our days be days of rebuilding of Jerusalem. Let the energy, the efforts, the passion we have be which really does rebuild Jerusalem today. Uvnei Yerushalayim Yerakodesh, b'mehera b'yameinu, speedily with our days.
Amen. Folks, these are the last two things I want to say. The Soul of Jerusalem, Amazon.com. There is no better time to buy this book. There's no better season to buy this book. There's no better year to buy this book. It is a beautiful, every chapter is a gem. Every single chapter is beautiful. And the second thing is, very soon, Wednesday morning, Beit HaRav Kook, if you're in Israel, join us. And if you're around the world, Facebook, at our Facebook page, it's going to be live streamed. It's going to be awesome. Rabbi Shlomo Katz, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, my brother.